Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com. Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Cenovus.com.
Hey everybody, I'm Zach.
And I'm Jesse.
You're watching Test of Time News.
Episode 405.
On Now You Know. So one of the best nonprofits fighting climate change just launched its annual electric vehicle raffle, and we are excited to tell you about it.
All proceeds go to the amazing Chesapeake Climate Action Network Action Fund, and there are three reasons why you should buy a raffle ticket right now.
Number one, your odds of winning have never been better.
For the first time, you have not one, but two chances to win a brand new electric vehicle with just one ticket.
Number two, the prizes are amazing.
The first place winner will choose from a Rivian R1S, a Rivian R1T, a Tesla Model X Plaid, or the Tesla Cybertruck.
And the second place winner will get the amazing Hyundai Ioniq 5.
And three, our friends at CCAN Action Fund do amazing work nationwide addressing the climate crisis.
So you'll be supporting a great cause.
To enter, visit evraffle.org. That's evraffle.org. Tickets are just $200 and only 7,000 will be sold.
So your odds have never been better. So visit evraffle.org or check the show notes below. And we interviewed Mike Tidwell, the head of CCAN. And so, yeah, go check that out. Link's down below. So unless you're living under a rock
or only watch legacy media, which you don't because you're watching our show,
you know that SpaceX successfully launched Starship last Thursday.
It was absolutely amazing.
Jesse and I were glued to the screen and in tears as the Super Heavy booster lifted off. That's 5,000 tons on liftoff. And we watched it, as Elon says,
successful soft landing of the Starship Super Heavy rocket booster.
To guide the booster, and there's that landing gun. That landing gun just begun, and you can see the water below. What an incredible sight! Congratulations to the SpaceX team!
Wow, and then we got footage later from SpaceX of this. This is what it looked like in the water, so they must have known where it was going to land in the ocean.
It looked like we were on a little floating buoy.
Yeah, I think they had some cameras planted
That's
where they thought it was going to land.
Crazy.
Elon said, Starship booster makes soft landing in water. Next landing will be caught by the tower arms. Next flight, we try to catch it with giant Mechazilla arms, inspired at least in part by Kong versus Godzilla. If they can fake do it in movies, we can do it in real life. Logic. Also, as part of this flight, we got to see an amazing hot stage jettison. Starship then made its return journey back to Earth, and we got to see an amazing plasma field around Starship as it traveled at about 25,000 kilometers an hour back into Earth's atmosphere. And as it was slowing down and heating up, this happened.
So the fin we were focused on got super hot and chewed up. But as Bill Lee said, it's just a flesh wound.
Elon said, speaks to the incredible resilience of stainless steel at temperature. We will further hone our SX300 alloy to withstand even higher temperatures.
Now, obviously, this was only the fourth time Starship has launched, so SpaceX wasn't trying to fully land the booster onto Mechazilla or Starship onto a drone ship yet. But we're getting close.
It was so exciting watching the re-entry of Starship as you see the plasma build up around the returning spacecraft and the heat begins to intensify.
SpaceX intentionally left off some heat tiles so that they can gather more data about how heat affects Starship.
And heat does affect Starship. I mean, look at that fin. Heat burned holes in it and chunks of hot stuff flew into the camera lens.
But we could still see a little bit, and Starship was able to do its flip maneuver and decelerate and come to a soft landing on the ocean before falling over because there's no drone ship to hold it.
What a huge success. Elon said, despite loss of many tiles and damaged flap, Starship made it all the way to a soft landing in the ocean. Congratulations to SpaceX team on an epic achievement, stainless steel rocket. Chris Hadfield, the astronaut, said, reentry heat is wicked. I've survived it 3 times, learning a lot about the difference between simulation and reality today at SpaceX. Congratulations on both soft splashdowns, pushing the envelope right to the edge. Excellent.
Elon said, thanks, Chris. A fully and immediately reusable orbital heat shield, which, as you know, has never been made before, is the single toughest problem remaining. Being able to iterate with many ideas on many ships is key to solving this.
And Scott Manley said, Booster was clearly close enough to the target that they had people with cameras ready.
Elon said, Booster landing was on target. Ship landing was several kilometers off due to flap damage, but both were soft landings.
And it just so happened that Boeing's fourth launch attempt of their Starliner capsule happened on the same day, and that was a successful launch as well. 2 astronauts were aboard the flight to the International Space Station. Boeing has been delayed for years. Now, to be clear, Starliner was supposed to be NASA's solution for getting crew and cargo to and from the ISS, but SpaceX beat them to the punch with Crew Dragon back in 2020.
So SpaceX, this new startup, beat Boeing and United Launch Alliance, ULA, to build a new spacecraft by over 4 years?
Yep.
Yep.
And didn't Starliner cost more than Dragon?
Yep.
Yep.
Starliner cost $5.1 billion to develop and build versus Dragon, which cost $3.1 billion.
So Starliner cost 64% more and came in 4 years late.
Meanwhile, SpaceX's Crew Dragon has already delivered dozens of astronauts to ISS and over 10,000 pounds of cargo. Elon said, I think we should try to catch the booster with the Mechazilla arms next flight. And we actually got some positive news coverage finally. And SpaceX said the payload for this test was the data Starship delivered.
And Elon said, today was a great day for humanity's future as a spacefaring civilization. Nothing unites us more than working together towards inspiring objectives.
And remarkably, the day before Starship's launch, Elon had predicted what might happen at that hinge when he spoke with Everyday Astronaut.
The hinge area and the hinge gap, and sealing that hinge gap and not having hot gas just go flowing super fast through the
interface there.
Yeah. At where the flap hinge is.
Yep.
Because if you get hot gas flowing through rapidly, that'll cook anything, including the tiles. So you've got a block, we've got a hot gas seal at the forward and rear flap hinge. And so, you know, one of the key questions is, does that seal work?
Right.
We think it'll work, but it may not work.
He said, not a difficult prediction. We will have this nailed for next flight. Note, a newer version of Starship has the forward flaps shifted leeward. This will help improve reliability, ease of manufacturing, and payload to orbit.
Okay. And your job this week is to make sure that you show that footage to everyone you know who doesn't know anything about what's going on with Starship, because it is amazing.
It is amazing. Because I just want to point out, you might be like, oh, that was really scary. But if there was a human on board the Starship and they had the proper capsuling for the human, they probably would have survived that whole reentry, even as scary as it was.
No, I mean, mark my words, in the next decade, we're going to be flying on that thing around the Earth. Mm-hmm. I know it seems crazy, just as crazy as it seemed to be on the Wright brothers' plane when they flew it. But look at what we're doing now. So Tesla North America posted 48 to 60 months now, 2.99% APR U.S. only.
More affordable financing for new Model 3 rear-wheel drive and long-range now available starts at 1.99% APR. So I'm guessing that the 0.99% APR that they were offering on the Model Y in May was popular, and so now Tesla is trying a similar, if not as low, rate.
Yeah, it still saves you a lot in finance charges over the life of the auto loan. I should mention, though, that in our research, we found that the 1.99% rate is for the 36-month loan. It goes up to 4.99% for longer loan terms. So it's a bit of, like, get-you-in-the-door kind of thing. I feel like it's a lot like, you know, car dealer ads of yore, you know, come on down, get 0% financing.
Well, sure. Well,
minor print.
Right. It's like for the first month. I know that. But I mean, still, even at 4.99%, that's still better than a lot of car loans that you're going to be getting today.
It's true.
And that makes a huge difference to people's monthly payments. And that means that more people can afford these cars. I think that Tesla was really smart to do that 0.99% to kind of prove out their math to show that it does increase demand. It shows that there is demand for the cars. It's just that people can't necessarily afford them right now because interest rates are so high. And so now they're trying to find a good balance where they're going to save money both for the consumer and for Tesla.
Tesla posted, congrats 4680 cell manufacturing team on building their 50 millionth battery cell at Giga Texas.
Wow.
Okay, so we're getting ready for the big event tomorrow, so I need you to go get those special balloons we talked about.
Special balloons?
Remember, we talked about this. Tesla's Giga Nevada just produced our 5 millionth drive unit, so we're going to be doing a big photo tomorrow with everyone. We want the balloons to spell out 5 million, remember?
Yeah, kinda. So, you want me to go to the party store and pick up the balloons?
Yes, here's the corporate credit card. Now, go before it closes.
Am I gonna need like a semi truck or something to carry all the balloons in? Cause I don't think 5 million balloons are gonna fit in my car.
No, you don't need a semi truck. It's not 5 million balloons. We talked about this. It spells out 5 million.
Right. So we'll inflate them when I get back. So 5 million balloons will fit in my car.
No. It's not 5 million balloons. It's 7 balloons that spell 5 million.
But like 5 million, that would be like F5. Like 11 balloons?
No. That would be 5 with 6 zeros.
Oh, okay. So not like 5 million balloons, because that would be a lot of helium. That might make the building explode.
Well, helium isn't flammable. But yes, that would be too many helium balloons to fill up by tomorrow.
And it looks like they got the right balloons and posted this on X. And Giga Nevada produced its 5 millionth drive unit.
Wow. So we got two big numbers here. We got 50 million and 5 million.
Mm-hmm.
Got to keep those straight. And while we're on the topic of Giga Nevada, look at this drone footage from Zangler on X. So all these trailers in the foreground, that is the warehouse on wheels for the factory. And then the orange trailers that are closer to the factory there in the back are where the semi-factory is going to be built.
By the way, that looks like a lot of solar panels on the roof of Giga Nevada.
Yeah, the last time I looked, there was just a little cluster of them at one end. Now it looks like they're spreading over the whole roof.
That's awesome. That's really cool.
So Tesla Insurance has just hired a new head of strategic insurance partnerships, Alan LeBen, who was a longtime Geico executive. This is what LeBen wrote on LinkedIn. Here's my goal in this role. Make Tesla vehicles easy and economical to insure. By partnering with the insurance companies, teams across Tesla and collision shops in the USA and Canada will lower the total cost of Tesla ownership and accelerate the world's transition to sustainable energy.
LeBen has been with Geico for almost 20 years. So it'll be interesting to see if Alan can help jumpstart Tesla insurance, because it seems to be struggling a bit. Tesla's auto insurance is still only available in 12 states: Arizona, California, Colorado, Illinois, Maryland, Minnesota, Nevada, Ohio, Oregon, Texas, Utah, and Virginia.
Last year, Tesla insurance customers filed a class action lawsuit stating that Tesla was charging too high a premium due to false crash warnings. So what are they talking about?
This has to do with a safety score. A safety score takes into a number of factors, things like really strong turning, really strong braking, and also whenever the car detects that you might get into a collision, so the early collision warning. The problem that I have with it is that every single day when I drive to work, there is this one car that's parked on a curve along my way to work, and I'm driving along the curve, and every single time it'll go beep, 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 because it thinks I'm going to smash into the car, which is off the road. It's not on the road at all.
Right. So if you had Tesla insurance, it would have thought that you're a lousy driver.
Every single day, it would ding my insurance, and I would have to be paying a higher premium just because the car thought that I might crash. Now, I would like to say I have my early warning system set to early, which is the earliest it'll possibly tell me. So the nice part is on the highway, when there's like a fast braking event, if I wasn't paying attention, it would probably save me and has saved me multiple times. I just think that using that as part of the safety score is, you know, it should be manually reviewed, and they should see, like, was that a dangerous and, you know, thing? And also, if somebody gets in front of you and brake checks you, that's not your fault either.
Well, I mean, Tesla tried to get the suit thrown out, but the judge ruled against it.
In California, insurance regulators say that Tesla's real-time insurance, which uses the safety score, can't be implemented.
The problem is that in theory, Tesla's real-time insurance makes sense, right? It lets drivers get way lower premiums and makes unsafe drivers pay more, which I think they should. But so far, Tesla's overall rates have been higher in many cases than their competitors.
And we're doing a Patreon poll this week, so stay tuned.
Sawyer Merritt tweeted out news. Tesla Global Vice President Grace Tao says that the new Model 3 had the lowest complaint rate among China's best-selling sedans in Q1 of 2024. And guess how Elon responded?
He's, I don't know.
It's his common response now.
By the way, the average complaint rate for this segment is 37. At 5.3, that means that Tesla's complaint rate is almost 600% less than the average model in China.
I mean, how many complaints are their average cars getting if you're getting 600% less complaints?
I don't know.
That doesn't speak well for their quality in China. All right, so Memphis, Tennessee just announced that XAI's Gigafactory of Compute, which is going to be the world's largest supercomputer, is to be located in Memphis, Tennessee.
I am pleased to announce that XAI's Gigafactory of Compute, the world's largest supercomputer, is to be located in Memphis, Tennessee.
And Elon said, true, Elvis is in the building.
Thank you very much.
So Tesla's Giga Compute, I guess we'll start calling it, will be located at a 785,000 square foot facility that is the former Electrolux Memphis facility, so the vacuum cleaner facility, on 216 acres of land at 3231 Paul R. Lowry Road in southwest Memphis, right next to the Mississippi River. It closed in 2022, and Phoenix investors paid $35 million for it. So that's about 667 miles from Giga Texas.
Right, but I mean, the internet.
God bless the internet.
You don't need to transport stuff between the two. It's all digital.
Yeah, but I mean, you know how we heard this week about computers going in at Giga Texas? I feel like there's going to be lots of computers being moved around from time to time. And it's good that it's close.
Okay. You know?
What's cool is it's right next door to Nucor Steel, which is a large steel manufacturer. Mm-hmm. They recycle a lot of steel. So I imagine they have a huge power hookup. And I think that's one reason why they needed this location is you need a lot of power to run all those computers. So I'm assuming that they've got like some kind of big industrial grid connection there.
I also wonder if they're going to be using the Mississippi River to cool the supercomputer clusters.
Are you allowed to do that? I don't know if you can heat up the river or not. You take in cold water and then you put back in warmer water.
Have you not learned anything about coal?
Oh, right. They get to use
they
it.
They get
right?
to use it for dumping their garbage in. So
guess that
adding a little bit of heat, I think is fine for now. Maybe in the future we shouldn't, because the fish are going to be unhappy with it. But I'm just saying, better than a f-ing ash pond.
So according to Handelsblatt and other reputable sources, it looks like Giga Berlin will be pausing vehicle and powertrain production manufacturing sections on June 7th, which just happened, 14th, the 17th, the 27th, and the 28th to optimize processes in the factory and, quote, prepare it for future challenges.
The GigaPress and cell production should continue during these pause days.
Now, I'm not sure if this is optimization or could it be the Juniper upgrade of the Model Y?
Who knows?
Somebody knows. So comment below what you think the 5 days are going to be for.
This just in, Elon knows. He says, no Model Y refresh is coming out this year. I should note that Tesla continuously improves its cars. So even a car that is 6 months newer will still be a little bit better. So he's saying that there's no refresh coming out this year.
It's smart for him to say that because I think a lot of people who are thinking of getting the Model Y might have been waiting for the refresh. And it's like, you know
what?
But
if it's not coming out this year.
Not this year.
It's got to be coming out next year, right?
So last week, we reported on a Wall Street Journal article that talked about Elon possibly serving in a Trump White House if he gets elected.
So now Elon Musk is campaigning for Donald Trump? I don't think so,
Stan.
But if we keep saying Elon Musk and Donald Trump in the same sentence, it won't matter. People will associate them as together.
I suppose that's true, Stan, but is that journalism?
This just in. They're telling me to cut to the next story.
Now Donald Trump, at a rally in Arizona last Thursday, told the crowd this.
And by the way, I'm a big fan of electric cars. I'm a fan of Elon. I like Elon, but you know, I like him. And I think a lot of people are going to want to buy electric cars.
So wait, now Trump is campaigning for Elon?
My two cents, if you listen to more of what Trump said about EVs at this event, it was the first time that he stressed the choice part and he walked back his ridiculous rhetoric about EVs not being good enough. I think Trump may either have been influenced by Elon on the EV topic or understanding how important it is to court Elon, who he owns the number one news app in America. So anyway, we're going to talk more about this on Patreon bonus stories this week.
Interesting.
Hey, and if you like the work that we do to give you independent news every week, please hit the like button. It really helps us out. All right, it's time for Cybertruck Roundup.
Yeehaw! The Cybertruck Roundup. So I wonder what's underneath there in front of the Monte Carlo Casino.
I can guess. So that's the director of Tesla France, Matthew Lenglen. He was there as well, but that's the Prince of Monaco, and he was the first to test drive the Cybertruck. And I would say that is pretty good advertising for Tesla.
Monaco is a prince?
Yes. All 6,000 people in his country are his subjects. They owe their allegiance and their
fealty.
Yeah, I mean, they get everything from him. It is a sovereign monarch nation, and has been for quite a while.
And it's got quite a few perks because he gets to test drive the Cybertruck. Yeah,
and Elon said,
"Cool."
We got these photos from Sawyer Merritt on X of his friend Cyber Squire. So it looks like if you want it to be a 1960s wagon, it can be.
There you go. All right.
And thank you to Quad Squad drone pilot Jeff Roberts, who got these awesome photos of Giga Texas. So look at the south end extension with that beautiful glass wall. It's getting buttoned up right now.
Also, since we're in the Cybertruck Roundup segment of the show, how about some Cybertrucks?
Yeah, and Jeff also reports on the delivery of new machinery from IDRA arriving at Giga Texas, delivered on a 42-wheeler.
I didn't know you could have that many wheels.
I didn't either. You got to spread that weight out.
Wow.
And guess how all those new Cybertrucks at Giga Texas are soon going to be getting across the highway to the new Tesla shipping prep facility?
Cyber tunnel,
my friend. Boring Company says Proof Rock 3 has emerged in the Giga Texas expansion. Cyber tunnel will be online in July.
So you can see where the Boring Company started digging the tunnel a few months ago. And
yeah, so see, like, there's the highway between the two. And normally you'd have to drive the cyber trucks across the highway. There's like a road. But now they're just going to go straight from the factory to the prep area through the tunnel.
And if you're like, well, I mean, an underpass under a highway, that's no big deal. It's not an underpass. Normally with an underpass, you'd have to close the highway for months, right? Like,
yeah, this has all been done while it's going. You're right.
Dig the whole thing out and then build bridges over it. Here, the cars were zipping by going 160 miles an hour because that's what they do in Texas. And meanwhile, they're tunneling underneath it.
And our buddy Joe Barletta from Smart Charge America is here to share Cyber Rodeo with us.
Hello, Zach and Jesse. Joseph Barletta here with Smart Charge America, host of the Charge Life podcast. I'm going to talk to you all today about an event that occurred last week called the Cybertruck Rodeo. The event took place about 1 hour north of Austin, Texas, where 75 different Cybertruck owners all over the nation came together to test their off-roading capabilities on an outdoor off-road racetrack. Take a look at some of the footage we have here.
Good morning, folks. Zach and Jesse, wherever you are out there, check this out. We are at the Austin, Texas Cyber Rodeo. We have about 100 Cybertrucks in full effect, hitting this 43-stall supercharger site.
Pretty sweet, I might say.
There you have it, Zach and Jesse, the first annual Cybertruck Rodeo. We hope to see you here in Austin, Texas for the next one. Again, thank you all so much for all of the hard work you guys are doing out in the EV community. And remember, if you can't charge, you can't drive. Now you know.
Thank you, Joe. That's awesome. I can't believe that 75 Cybertrucks got together. Can you imagine if you didn't know anything about Cybertruck and you woke up that morning, you're a little bleary-eyed and you're going to work and you're like, what the hell is going on? So you know how Tesla raffles off Cybertrucks as part of their referral program?
Mm.
If you're like me, you might have been a little bit cynical and you were like, well, does Tesla really give away a Cybertruck? Well, yes, they do. In February, Tim Harrington took delivery of the first Cybertruck that Tesla raffled off.
He said, one, the Tesla Cybertruck raffle. Elon, this thing is incredible. Finally, my wife will just roll over the curbs.
And then Jacob Knight took delivery on May 24th of the second Cybertruck raffled off by Tesla.
He said, excited to announce that I'm the winner of Tesla Cybertruck sweepstakes. I received the news on May 15th and took delivery on May 24th. Such an awesome experience. And I cannot thank the team at Tesla, Elon, and the entire Tesla community for pushing these vehicles forward.
And if you want to learn about everything Cybertruck and more, go to our friends at the Cybertruck Owners Club. They help sponsor the show. They've got a great delivery tracker there, so you can find out where your truck might be in line. And
there's lots of news and discussions by Cybertruck owners. Now we are actual owners.
So we just reviewed our third 10 Ways e-bike over on one of our other channels, the Now Let's Review channel.
And this one is the Agot model.
It's a mid-motor, and it might be my favorite 10 Ways bike yet.
Yeah, I've liked all the 10 Ways e-bikes that we've reviewed, but this one has a feature that we have yet to see on an e-bike, a CVT, or continuously variable transmission. This essentially functions as a gearbox, but allows you to have a belt.
Oh, right. It's one speed because of the belt, but it's actually not one speed because of the CVT.
Yes, and this allows for a much quieter, more reliable powertrain, along with a mid-drive motor. It's a really top-of-the-line experience.
Yeah, it's a really cool feature. To see what we're talking about and to see if it's right for you, head on over to the Now Let's Review channel, because there's so many e-bikes out there. It is hard to pick sometimes. That's why we review as many as we can.
So join us on our latest adventure on Now We Adventure. We're going from Beverly to Manchester by the Sea on the beautiful North Shore of Massachusetts.
It's so exciting to see so many more people riding e-bikes as we go on our weekly adventures. This is an adventure that I, for one, could not have done were it not for e-bikes. I would be excluded from the fun if I didn't have a motor and a battery aiding me. And I don't feel ashamed. I think there's this element to bike riding that says it's only for people who have the thigh muscles of Hercules. And I applaud those people, but I'm just not one of them. But with an e-bike, I get to go for a 20 or 30 mile ride and actually enjoy it.
This ride had us traveling through so many beautiful spots, many of which are private roads. So, I mean, even if you live in Massachusetts, you've probably never seen these before.
Yeah, so you get to check all those out with us on an adventure through places that you might not be allowed to go.
At least not on a car.
Stock analysts are so dumb.
I know, right? They say that Tesla is only an automaker. They don't seem to realize that Tesla is so much more. It's an energy company, an AI company, a robotaxi company, a robot company, and an insurance company.
You forgot one.
Insurance, energy. What did I forget?
You forgot an alcohol company.
What?
Yeah, Tesla North America just posted this. Pour one out. Tesla Mezcal now available in the U.S.
Does that say $450 a bottle?
Yep. Probably pretty good margins on that, huh?
Now, I mean, that's similar to this one.
Yeah, their bottle is black, as you can see.
Oh,
and it's full of mezcal and not tequila. And it costs a lot more than that bottle costs.
Right.
But I am hearing that people are selling their unopened bottles of mezcal now for $2,000. So maybe it's a good investment.
What?
The Japanese Transport Ministry has halted the delivery of six Japanese vehicle models, including three made by Toyota, the Corolla Fielder, the Corolla Axio, and the Yaris Cross, because Toyota submitted fake data during pedestrian safety tests. Toyota also used modified test vehicles during collision safety tests on four past models.
Hey, Akito, what you doing?
Just welding some reinforcement bars into this test vehicle so it doesn't get so crushed during the tests.
You know what else you can do?
Yeah.
Spray some expanding foam in over there, like this.
Oh, thanks, Kenzo. Hey, you want to grab some beers and go to karaoke after work?
Sounds good. And hey, Akito, don't get caught, right?
And it wasn't just Toyota. Honda, Suzuki, and Mazda were also caught doing it, Nilan said.
Double exclamation point. But you know what? It's okay, because even though Toyota sold 13 million cars last year and are now admitting to faking the safety data, at least they apologized.
That's right. That's Akio Toyota, Toyota's chairman and great-grandson of the founder of Toyota, bowing in apology, saying, "We neglected the certification process and mass-produced our cars without first taking the proper precautionary steps."
Oh, you neglected the certification process. But that's not what you did.
What you did was cheat and then lied to cover it up.
But you happened to get caught red-handed, and so now you're doing what all the big automakers have done when they get caught cheating. You say, "Sorry, nothing to see here."
Well, there is something to see here. This is what Toyota, Honda, Suzuki, and Mazda think of their customers.
They don't give a shit about your safety. They just want to make money.
Whereas Tesla makes the safest cars on the road.
So, f*** these guys. F*** these guys for lying on safety tests. When was the last time you heard Tesla about lying on safety tests? Oh, you haven't? You haven't heard that story? Even though the press would love to cover that story, even though they would love to come up with it. No, you haven't heard that. Why haven't you heard that? Because that's not how Tesla works. All of these companies that you see here, and these are just because they're Japanese companies and they happen to get caught in Japan, you hear about those ones. Why? Because those are the only manufacturers in Japan.
Well, and I love how the media makes it sound like it was just certification data. Like it's over the heads of most people. What they did was they fucking lied. They cheated on tests,
which is not a new thing in the auto industry. And it shows that it doesn't even have to be emissions tests. It could be pedestrian safety tests, and they could falsify those as well. How fun.
There was this funny story from CNBC. X News Daily posted news. Elon ordered NVIDIA to ship thousands of AI chips reserved for Tesla to X and AI.
Elon said Tesla had no place to send the NVIDIA chips to turn them on, so they would have just sat in a warehouse. The south extension of Giga Texas is almost complete. This will house 50,000 H100s for full self-driving training.
So CNBC said Elon Musk ordered NVIDIA to ship thousands of AI chips reserved for Tesla to X and XAI.
Elon said Laura Lyer Kolodny.
Yeah, she was the author of that article, which wasn't true. He said of the roughly $10 billion in AI-related expenditures, I said Tesla would make this year. About half is internal, primarily the Tesla-designed AI inference computer and sensors present in all of our cars, plus Dojo. For building the AI training superclusters, NVIDIA hardware is about two-thirds of the cost. My current best guess for NVIDIA purchases by Tesla are $3 billion to $4 billion this year. Holmar's catalog said, thanks for the color, very interesting. Off topic, but how do you see Dojo comparing to the NVIDIA cluster? Is there a realistic pathway to one day producing training compute internally rather than buying from NVIDIA?
And Elon said training compute for Tesla is relatively small compared to inference compute, as the latter scales linearly with the size of fleet. Perhaps the best way to think about it is in terms of power consumption. When the Tesla fleet reaches 100 million vehicles, peak power consumption of AI hardware in cars will be roughly 100 gigawatts. Training power consumption is probably less than 5 gigawatts. These are very rough guesses. Obviously, 5 gigawatts of AI training compute is enormous by current standards, but it's only about 5% of total Tesla AI compute. There is a path for Dojo to exceed NVIDIA. It's a long shot, as I've said before, but success is one of the possible outcomes.
So Ryan says, I think 85,000 is the right number. The new data center will house 50,000. They have an existing 35,000 H100s. This should all be in addition to the Dojo systems.
Elon says, correct. Also, I can't overstate the difficulty of making 50,000.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at Synovus.com.
This is the story of the one. As head of maintenance at a concert hall, he knows the show must always go on. That's why he works behind the scenes, ensuring every light is working, the HVAC is humming, and his facility shines. With Grainger's supplies and solutions for every challenge he faces, plus 24/7 customer support, his venue never misses a beat. Call quickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
H100s train as a coherent system. No company on Earth has been able to achieve this yet. Once we have that system working, we will order more hardware.
Alex says, Ross Gerber is not very bright. There's absolutely nothing weird about Elon Musk saying that Tesla did not have the room at Giga Texas to install 12,000 NVIDIA H100 GPUs. Anyone who has remotely followed the construction of Giga Texas knows every section of the factory is built to spec. Stamping presses need isolated foundations. 4680 section needs special fireproof roofing, etc. You obviously can't install a massive water-cooled compute cluster just anywhere in the factory. And that's because Ross Gerber went on CNBC and basically started making it sound like Elon was full of And Elon said the existing factory space was already allocated to vehicle battery and cell production. And this is not a matter of tucking a few computers into a corner. You need a kilowatt of power and cooling for each GPU, which would mean 12 megawatts of power and 12 megawatts of cooling. The south extension is custom built for heavy power compute and cooling. The cooling towers are huge. Initial system is 50,000 H100s plus 20,000 Tesla hardware 4 AI computers and massive video storage. Important to note that FSD training requires massive liquid-cooled Tesla AI compute and video storage, not just NVIDIA. And Holmar's catalog said, interesting that they also have a cluster of 20,000 hardware 4 computers. I assume it's for evaluation?
Elon says, no, they are used as part of the training loop.
Yeah, so we get to learn so much more on X now in kind of real time. But it's hard because this stuff is like disparately tweeted and you have to like watch each video and read each thing. So, I mean, basically what happened in the news this week was a fake story comes out on CNBC that makes it sound like Elon's playing favorites with his companies by taking some of his compute power and just, oh, I'm going to give some of this to X and some of this to XAI, but I'm not going to give some of this to Tesla. And it turns out the story was false. And luckily on X, Elon can immediately just post what's actually going on. But instead, the rest of the media picks up on the fake story and keeps running it. So all week long, we just get shit stories. It's so upsetting.
And then you get people who get upset about these fake stories and they go like, Elon is stealing stuff from Tesla. And this is exactly what we're talking about, why we should vote for him. And it's like, no, this is just a lying fake story that is, it is, I guess, designed to trick you.
Well, you know, in the old days when a reporter had a lead on a story, the editor would say, well, follow that up and get some more sources and we'll see if it's real. Now it's like, I've got a fake story. Can we print it? Sure.
Right.
Hey, if you want to share a story you've seen on our show that's real, you can go to our Clips channel where we chop them into bite-sized clips that are easy to share, or you can go to X where we post them as well. So Ford has announced the start of production of their all-new Explorer EV in Europe.
The Explorer all-electric EV is being built at Ford's Cologne, Germany assembly plant, originally built in 1930.
So we know a little bit about the new Ford Explorer EV. Ford claims a WLTP range of 600 kilometers or 373 miles. Remember that WLTP is not realistic range.
It stands for well, less than probably.
So that's for their top tier variant. It'll have a 15-inch touchscreen, Apple CarPlay, Android Auto. The starting price for the base model should be £39,875 in the UK and about €49,500 in other European countries.
The rear-wheel drive model will have a 210-kilowatt motor. The all-wheel drive will have two motors, obviously, with a total output of 250 kilowatts. It seems to be being built on Volkswagen's MEB platform, so I'm expecting that it'll drive similar to the Volkswagen ID.4.
The rear-wheel drive uses a 77-kilowatt-hour battery that can be charged at 135 kilowatts max. And the all-wheel drive version has a 79-kilowatt-hour battery, which they say can be charged at 185 kilowatts max.
Acceleration is 0 to 60 in 6.4 seconds for the rear-wheel drive and 5.3 for the all-wheel drive.
So this alliance between Ford and VW was signed a few years ago. You might remember that. And it's basically the ID.4, like you said, with different packaging. I mean, if you can kind of imagine, take away the Ford-ish
outside,
look. Yeah. It's just an ID.4.
It looks like
it's actually
ID.4.
2 inches shorter than the ID.4. So, I mean.
Oh, wow. Well, there you go. It's a completely different vehicle.
So you know that court case against Tesla filed by that one shareholder with 9 shares of Tesla stock that got the Delaware judge to overrule all the rest of us shareholders and deny Elon's pay package? Well, the reason that shareholder filed that lawsuit, let's be real here for a minute, okay? That was so that those law firms that filed the lawsuit on his behalf could make a lot of money. How much money, you ask? Well, they're asking for $5.2 billion in legal fees, and they want to be paid in Tesla stock. 29 million shares.
$5.2 billion in legal fees. Mm-hmm. How is that even possible? I mean, if the judge herself said that Elon's pay package was too high, how can she agree that the lawyers, who only had to file some paperwork and show up in court in nice suits, should get over $5 billion? That's over $200,000 an hour each.
Well, Tesla shareholder Amy Steffens agrees, and she just filed a court filing saying that she disagrees with the lawyer's fee request, and she suggests that they should only get $13.6 million instead, which is still astounding.
And Elon posted, they deserve to repay Tesla legal costs and get nothing.
And I just want to remind everyone that says, yeah, but Elon was going to get $56 billion. Hang on. Elon's pay package in 2018 would have been $2.3 billion, okay? but the size of the award grew in proportion to the value that Tesla grew for shareholders under Elon's leadership. And as Kathy Wood points out, in 2018, Ford and GM each spent $4 billion on just advertising in 1 year. Tesla did not spend any money on advertising from 2018 to 2022. 5 years. Elon did all the advertising for Tesla. So spending $2.3 billion on a pay package for Elon, if he met all 12 tranches, was reasonable. Elon had to double the value of Tesla just to get to his first tranche. And he did it. And remember that if Elon had failed to meet those very hard goals, he would have received no compensation for working his butt off at Tesla.
Nothing for you.
I really hope that enough Tesla shareholders vote to approve Elon's pay package again at Tesla shareholder meeting this Thursday. And I hope that Dan Ives, analyst at Wedbush Securities, is right. He said on the Musk $56 billion comp package, this has been an area of hot button contention among some investors, but we would expect the 2018 package will be overwhelmingly reapproved and given green light next week at Tesla shareholder meeting. One overhang removed next week. Sorry, I get emotional about it. I mean, we're reneging on a deal if we don't vote for it.
Well, and I mean, it's one thing to renege on a deal. Okay. But it's another to pay $5 billion.
Well, and that's why they did this.
Have to build a castle?
And why would the judge even remotely agree with this?
I don't understand. Like, because it's one thing to be like, hey, we're a law firm. And if you want us to work on your case, you're going to have to pay us $200,000 an hour each lawyer.
They approached this shareholder. They found a shareholder to run a case for. It's bull. It's so fucking shit, I can't even imagine. I've got to move on to the next story. I'm going to blow a gasket. All right, it's time for some SpaceX news.
And first off, a big kudos to Ellie for getting an interview with Elon at Starbase.
Yeah, if you haven't seen that, we'll put the link down below in the show notes. Well done, Ellie.
Great questions. And on the same day as the Starship 4 launch.
Yeah, and Elon even said, good interview. Elon posted median latency for Starlink internet in the U.S. will get below 20 milliseconds. And 14 years ago, last week, SpaceX successfully launched the Falcon 9 for the first time. That was June 4th of 2010. Elon then posted 300.
Is he talking about the movie 300? Did he just rewatch that over the weekend?
No, he's talking about this. Falcon 9 lands for the 300th time. I know, with Starship, we forget there's the other rocket, right?
Oh, there's that rocket.
The little brother.
The one that's sending up the constellation. I have this app that shows you like the stars or whatever, and it'll show you all the satellites. So even if you can't see the satellite because there's no sun being reflected off of it, you can still see where they all are. And you look up and there's always Starlinks, always, because that's how the system works. But it's just amazing to see it in real time with them just going like, boop, 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 boop.
Yeah,
5,000 I'm giving satellites. The internet.
I know. And when we talked about this happening before it happened, everyone thought we were
insane.
Everyone's
like, yeah, they can't launch those satellites. Well, once you have a reusable rocket that can be landed 300 times, not the same rocket, but like, it's insane.
Yeah.
That's 300 rockets you didn't have to build.
All right, it's time for Into the Future, sponsored by our friends at Henson Shaving.
This is the Henson Razor. I haven't used my razor in a while, but I still really, really like the Henson Razor. When this beard comes off, and it's summer, let's face it, probably will come off, I'll be using my Henson Razor. And if you want to get yours with 100 blades for free, simply use our code NOWYOUKNOW at checkout.
Makes a great Father's Day present. So you want to go for a ride in an autonomous taxi, but you don't live in like San Francisco or Chandler, Arizona?
How about Austin, Texas?
Or Las Vegas or Seattle or Miami or Foster City, California? These are all cities where you can soon catch a robo ride in a Zoox.
Austin and Miami will start with internal testing. And then if things work out, Zoox will open their driverless taxi rides to the public.
Zoox says that they chose Austin because they have horizontal traffic lights, along with traffic lights that hang from wires, and quite a few thunderstorms. I guess that's the data they're looking for?
Zoox chose Miami because their traffic lights are suspended diagonally across intersections.
It seems like a weird reason to choose a city.
Hey, well, what about Miami? I would love to do Miami, dude, but like, we have to tell the boss something. So like, what is like only in Miami? Well, I mean, it's not only in Miami, but like, they have like, diagonally suspended traffic lights.
That's what, we'll say.
Party at my stepdad's house in Miami. So why did they choose Boston? I mean, we have traffic lights that drivers ignore, and we have incredibly bad drivers. We have 17-way intersections.
Right, I think it'd be a way better city to choose. If you can survive Boston, you can probably survive any city.
We got rotaries. Half the rotary has lights, the other half doesn't. I mean, it's really good for training.
By the way, share some video if you ride in one of these Zoox vehicles. I'd love to know how they ride.
Now, it doesn't look like the Zoox vehicle.
What do you mean?
This picture you're showing, that's not the Zoox vehicle. The Zoox vehicle is supposed to be like a big box with wheels, and it could drive forwards or backwards the same.
I think some of them are. I just, we haven't spotted them yet on the road. So.
Okay. Well, if you spot anything that says Zoox on it or that looks like a Zoox, send us a picture.
All right, it's time for Going Green. So we, and presumably every Cybertruck Foundation Series owner, received this email from Tesla. It has this cool photo of a Cybertruck powering what looks like a post-apocalyptic home. And then it says that we'll be getting a $2,500 voucher to purchase PowerShare home backup equipment. So part of the terms for qualifying, it says that you have to park within 20 feet of your garage or your main electrical service panel. You have to have a main electrical service panel rating of less than 225 amps. And you have to have a Tesla-certified installer in your area and agree to the quote from that installer.
So what if somebody doesn't meet those criteria?
Then Tesla says that you can use the voucher towards, quote, a single transaction to purchase other items in the Tesla shop up to the value of the voucher. Now, I think many people watching are like, what are you guys even talking about? What is PowerShare Home Backup?
That's where you can plug in your Cybertruck and it'll power your home.
Oh, kind of like the Ford Lightning.
And I don't 100% know how it works. I know roughly how it works, but since we haven't actually first principledly, I haven't touched the wires, you know, I haven't zapped myself on the tongue. I don't exactly know how it works.
We're going to be talking to Joe Barletta at Smart Charge America because his company does this all the time. Yep. And maybe they'll even come out and help us hook ours up because I would love to do that if we could.
Definitely.
And this segment, by the way, is sponsored by EVject Escape Connector. So basically, this allows you to plug in your Tesla, drive away if someone comes and bothers you or is threatening you, and not break the world. In fact, you can't drive away without this. You break this instead. It breaks into this. But nothing's really broken because
that's what the escape connector was designed to do.
Yeah. In fact, they'll send you a new one if you need to use it. So it's the only way that you can drive away from a charger when you're charging. We love this thing. Check it out. It's a great Father's Day present. Our friends at EVject, Craig and Eric, designed it and made it from scratch. So you're going to love this.
Also, if you use our code NYK when you check out, you will get 50% off.
Yeah, so head on over to evject.com right now and pick up yours. All right, it's time for sunspots. Did you feel that?
Feel what?
The world's largest solar farm just went online in China. China Green Development Group just switched on the 3.5 gigawatt Maidong solar farm located in Yurumqi in China's Xinjiang region.
That's a huge desert.
Yeah, actually 44% of China is desert. So they have plenty of places to construct solar farms. The previous record is a 2.2 gigawatt solar farm in Hangzhou, China.
Wow, so this new farm is way bigger.
Yeah, it's so big.
How big is it?
It's so big that it takes up 200,000 acres and should produce about 7 terawatt hours of energy every year.
That's enough energy to power 660,000 US homes. Now, how many solar panels is that?
That is 5.26 million bifacial solar panels that are each 650 watts. They had to build 208 kilometers of transmission line that connects to their grid via a 750 kilovolt substation.
Wow.
Hey, and if you'd like to get solar, maybe not that much solar, on your roof, contact our friends at Energy Pal. They will help you figure out all the ins and outs, all the tax credits, all that stuff for free. Let them know that Zach and Jesse sent you. All right, it's time for our video contributor stories. Remember, we need your stories. Send them to us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. Make sure there's no music. Shoot them in landscape and 2 minutes or less. What do we got this week, Jess?
Well, hang on. Didn't we already do a video contributor story this week with Joe Barletta?
True. That was awesome. I just figured, you know, let's get more Cybertrucks.
Two this week. Yeah. All right. Steve sent us this story about some Cybertrucks that arrived at his local Tesla store.
Hey, Zach and Jesse. This is Steve from Loveland, Colorado, coming to you from the local Tesla dealer. Just drove by and saw that they had 8 new Cybertrucks just put into their parking lot, and they got a 9th one in the showroom. So it's looking like things are really picking up for the Cybertruck here in Colorado. And
what's up with that?
That's about it.
So not 75 Cybertrucks, Steve, but no, seven. That's pretty awesome.
Cool
Thank
to
you.
See it with the snow on.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
All right, it's time for our Patreon bonus stories. And on Patreon this week, we've got so many stories for just our patrons.
Zach is going to get really mad about a Jalopnik article that just came out.
We're also going to discuss free will.
And how Tesla Sentry Mode helped police catch a shooting suspect right here in our home state.
And more, along with Investor Club bonus stories. So head on over to patreon.com/nowyouknow and support us.
Keep independent journalism strong and get all these Patreon bonus stories.
We'll see you there. It's a Patreon bonus story. All right, we're back from our Patreon bonus stories. It's time for our shout outs. These are people who get their names in the end credits because they support us. Thank you so much. Who do we got this week?
Grumpy Old Man and his EV.
That's me. Jack Clearman.
Mr. Whiskers.
Stuart Schuneman.
And Thomas Puzak.
Thank you so much, guys. We couldn't do this show without you. All right, it's time for our Patreon poll. What do we ask?
What do you think about Tesla's new head of strategic insurance partnerships?
And overwhelmingly, you said hopefully with all of his experience from Geico, he should help Tesla Insurance expand into more states and lower rates. Some people said it's not going to make much of a difference. And a lot of people said, let's just wait and see. All right, it's time for Elon's X's of the Week. And on this day in 1983, as John Ehrlichman reminds us, the movie War Games was released.
Elon says, how far we've come.
Mario says, birth rate drop in the Caribbean could create ghost islands.
Elon says, this is happening in most of Earth.
Greg Price says, Representative Debbie Dingell asked Dr. Fauci about his emotional well-being because Republicans are too mean to him.
Elon says, why do Democrats love Fauci so much?
Pico Paco says, Jan LeCun predicts AI will never be able to do spatial reasoning. 1 year later, GPT-4 proves him wrong.
Elon said he's been out of touch with AI for a long time.
Then Elon reminded us that the bikini was a bold move when it came to being in 1946. Jim Cramer says, time for Elon to come on Mad Money to state his case.
Elon says, we could do an X Spaces.
And Wokeness says, holy 135 out of the 680 hotels in New York City are now shelters for illegal immigrants.
And Elon said, wow.
House Republicans said, fact, far-left Democrat leader Hakeem Jeffries and 75% of far-left House Democrats just voted against legislation requiring the deportation of illegal immigrants who assault law enforcement officers.
Elon says, this is insane. People can come to America illegally, assault law enforcement, and still not get deported.
Then Elon reminded us that the movie Dallas Buyers Club, the bad guy was Fauci. Clandestine says the reason Fauci made up the 6-foot social distancing and mask wearing was to make the citizens fear being close to one another. They need the public to fear voting in person.
Elon says, I don't think that the intent was that diabolical, but nonetheless had the effect of driving mail-in ballot acceptance.
H. Pearl Davis says, hey, Elon, if you're going to allow porn, would it be possible to have a function that allows us to use X without being exposed to it? Porn-free mode or something?
Elon says, this is a top priority.
Homar's catalog says, Elon said he'd ramp the Model 3 to mass production. He didn't just ramp it. He made Model 3 and Model Y the best sellers worldwide. He said the car could drive with pure vision. People said he was crazy, but look at FSD 12. He said he could grow Tesla to a $600 billion company within 10 years. He did it in six. How do shareholders respond? Let's take away his pay package and push him out of the company. Let's cut off our nose to spite our face. I have seen some crazy moments in Tesla's history, but this takes the cake. What a mad, mad world.
Elon says, how quickly some forget.
Eric Zielkman says, being at XAI has really highlighted for me how often news is weaponized to seemingly intentionally spread misinformation.
Elon said, yeah, it's insane.
Technodoge says, Elon left Instagram because he started taking too many selfies. What the hell is wrong with me, he said.
Elon said, yep.
Foreign aid is taking money from poor people in rich countries and giving it to rich people in poor countries, a quote from Ron Paul.
And Elon said, usually true, sigh.
Babylon Bee says Biden announced his plan to pretend to care about the border until November 6th.
And Elon said, pretty much.
Brett Winton of ARK Invest says Tesla scores very poorly on this metric. Their cars are way too safe. Clearly don't take emissions reduction seriously. Makes sense that ESG portfolios avoid them. And that's just showing that Philip Morris, you know, the makers of cigarettes, get a better ESG score than Tesla.
And Elon said ESG is a corrupted lie. It needs to end.
Kathy Wood says, I'd argue that no other executive is as aligned with shareholders as Elon Musk, who committed to no salary, no bonus, no stock comp for 10 years unless he created tremendous value for Tesla shareholders.
Elon said, thanks, Kathy.
Elon then posted this, Starship reentering like a meteor and Starship separates from booster. Those are real pictures. And then he gave congratulations to the Prime Minister of India on your victory in the world's largest democratic elections. Looking forward to my company's doing exciting work in India. Sawyer Merritt said, news, Norway's $1.7 trillion sovereign wealth fund today said it will vote against ratifying Elon's pay package. The fund owns about 1% of all of Tesla's shares. They voted against the package in 2018 as well. The fund said, "We appreciate the significant value, blah, blah, blah." And Galli said, "Embarrassing moment for Sovereign Wealth Fund of Norway, Nikolai Tang. Good to know you have no integrity and are short-term thinkers. Big reputation hit today. All founders in your portfolio will see this." By the way, Tang is the CEO of Norges Bank.
And Elon said yes.
Zero Hedge said, "Norway's sovereign wealth fund should sell its 31.6 million Tesla shares at the 2018 prices then."
Elon said, "Yeah, this is not cool. If they actually surveyed their constituents, they would discover overwhelming support in favor. So far, roughly 90% of retail shareholders who have voted in favor of both resolutions. The public sentiment is unequivocally supportive."
Elon said, "Far too much of the stock market is effectively controlled by ISS and Glass Lewis, who have zero economic alignment with actual shareholders. A lot of shareholders are having challenges voting due to the institutions that hold their shares, making it complicated. So any community support would be much appreciated." Doge Designer pointed out that X is the number one news app in 143 countries around the world.
And Elon said, "X is the global news."
And then Elon said, "Ship it." And he posted some amazing photos of Starship. Fry said, "Elon is 100 times cooler when he's doing space shit instead of social media shit."
Elon said, "Engineering is fun for me, whereas politics and posting on controversial issues feels like putting my hand on a hot stove, mega pain. The reason I do the latter, admittedly ineptly at times, is because I think it is necessary to counteract corrosion of civilization."
And Wokeness says, "White supremacy is the most dangerous terrorist threat to our homeland." That's a quote from Biden last year. And Elon said, "Dotards doing race baiting is the most dangerous threat to our homeland." That's a quote from himself. Doge Designer said, "Legacy media will soon go extinct."
Elon said, "It's just not in the same technology league as the real-time collective consciousness that is X."
Homar's catalog says, "FSD 12.4.1 shows promise, but needs some polish. Expect 12.4.2 or 3 to go wide, depending on how things go. 12.4.1 isn't quite ready to replace 12.3.6. yet, but soon will. Huge thanks to Tesla for getting this first build out to early access."
Elon says, "An accurate assessment."
Doge Designer says, "Long term, I think the ratio of humanoid robots will be more than humans. We might have more than 10 billion humanoid robots."
Elon says, "It comes down to what you think the ratio of humanoid robots to humans will be. My guess is that it will be much greater than one."
All right, it's time for community mail time.
Community mail time.
On that hopeful thought that robots will outnumber us. Remember, share your stories, photos, and videos with us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com.
David sent us this picture of a 1999 Toyota Tacoma parked next to a Cybertruck in Marshall, California, just in case you didn't know what it would look like.
Fred sent us this picture of his long-range refresh Model 3 in glacial blue.
David spotted this blue-wrapped Cybertruck in Bergstrom International Airport in Austin, Texas.
I guess it'd be good if you went to IKEA in that.
Seth saw this plug-in hybrid Jeep at a local charging station.
Todd spotted these Cybertrucks in Texas.
Suzanne saw this Lexus RZ450E in Lake Frederick, Virginia.
Nina went to see the Cybertruck at a Tesla event in Stockholm, Sweden.
Andy spotted this Ford Mach-E hearse.
Jonathan sent us this picture of a parking lot full of Teslas in Mapleton, Utah.
Thanos from the Electromobility in Greece Facebook group spotted this Cybertruck and DeLorean at Disney's Hollywood Studios theme park.
Maybe they're planning on a sequel. Jason spotted this Wrap Model 3 in Vancouver, Washington.
Dick saw this Rivian R1T in West Palm Beach, Florida.
And John spotted this Cybertruck being used for camping in Myrtle Beach, South Carolina. And you're going to be doing some camping soon in your Cybertruck.
Next week, baby.
Oh, is that video coming out in a bit?
Yeah, so we...
You got the Cyber Tent.
We have the Cyber Tent, so stay tuned for that. Hit the subscribe button for that one. Pretty interesting.
Maybe you should be on this next segment, the EV tips of the week, when you do your Cybertruck tent.
Yes, I'm learning a lot of things, a lot of exciting things. But yeah, the tent isn't as easy, I will say, as the Rivian tent that we had bought. It wasn't technically the Rivian tent. It was just a Yakima tent that you could buy for any pickup truck.
And remember, you can send your EV tips to us at hello@nowyouknowchannel.com. All right, so now it's time for Supercharger reviews. Let's see what we got out there in the world.
What's up, Zach and Jesse? We're here in Stevens Point at these brand new 250Ks. Super nice. We just seen a Rivian leave here. And we're at the grocery store. Definitely rating it a solid 7 out of 10. Have a good one, guys.
Hello, Zach and Jesse. Coming to you from Syracuse, New York. This is a rather new supercharger here at Destiny USA in Syracuse, New York. It's 12 stalls, Although there is one stall back here that's a handicap stall. And then all the way on the other side, you've got a pull-in stall. Although when a Cybertruck starts coming out, probably don't want to park a trailer there because there's an intersection that comes down right there. This is a mall, so you kind of expect that you'd see a lot more stuff open. But here, everything kind of closes down at like 8:30, 9 o'clock. It's a Friday today, which is even more surprising that everything is all closed. It's a pretty big mall. It's the biggest mall in the area. But there really isn't anything after hours, and even in terms of bathrooms, at some point they lock everything down. There is security that goes through here during the open hours of the mall, but after it closes, it's not. And this is kind of well known to not be the safest of areas to be hanging around. So for that reason, I would give this supercharger a 5 out of 10. If you're here during the day, there's a lot more amenities available, maybe the 6 or 7 out of 10. But if you're just stopping here at night, I would stay in your car. All right, thanks, and now you know.
Hi, Zach and Jesse. Jack and Gene here again, taking a look at the charging station at 1841 University Drive in Vista, California.
Yeah, it's not directly off the highway. It's pretty close, but you do have to make a few turns. It is close to quite a few shopping centers, but it is kind of well tucked away and hidden behind some shopping centers. It's a 20 stall, 250 kilowatt chargers.
Yep.
How would you rate this, Jax?
Again, Gene and I have actually charged at a Tesla charging station yet. But I'm going to give this one a 6 because it's kind of hidden and out of the way.
Yeah, I would have to agree. I would either give it a 5 or 6. I'll go with 6 just because there are places here. And as you can tell, we are really waiting for our Cybertruck, so we're checking out charging stations near us. And we just thought we'd do a review. But anyway.
All right, Zach, Jesse, thanks a lot for having us, and talk to you later. Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
Good morning, Zach and Jesse. This is Jeff. I'm in Mystic, Connecticut. This is a 12-stall supercharger, version 3, 250 kilowatt. Three of the stalls are by themselves on the other side of that driveway. You have several that are lined up in the traditional back end style. You have one that's oriented that will be good for pulling forward. And then you have another one that in a pinch, I guess you could use in a pull forward or pull back configuration. This is located near the McQuaid Shopping Complex on Coogan Boulevard. There's a Starbucks nearby. There are also hotels nearby. On this side of the street, you'll have a Hilton, and on the other side, you'll have one that's called Liberty. So, I would give this a 9 out of 10. Back to you, Zach and Jesse. Now you know.
Thank you, guys. I love how the superchargers at the Connecticut one were put in plumb, even though the ground was sloped. That's really neat.
And that last one at the end looked like it was built specifically for non-Tesla EVs.
Oh, right.
It was on
the other side of the...
between two, and it could be used for a normal Tesla, but then they left an extra space. It seemed like... I don't know.
That's cool. Hey, and if you've got beautiful superchargers, make sure you send them in because we love to focus on those as well. All right, what do we got for new superchargers out there in the world?
We got the 8-stall version 4 in Reiskirchen, Germany.
We got the 16 stall version 4 in Danville, California.
The 20 stall in El Monte, California.
We got number 218 in Canada, the 8 stall in McBride, British Columbia.
The 8 stall version 4 in Ajaccio, France.
Number 190 in France is the 4 stall version 4 in Bouguglia, France.
Number 27.
Those both sounded Italian, didn't they?
They do sound Italian. Number 27 in Missouri is the 16 stall version 4 in Springfield.
Number 34 in Connecticut is the 12 stall in Southington.
Number 85 in Italy is the 8 stall version 4 in Milan.
Number 2079 in China is the 6 stall in Shanghai at Thousand Trees.
Number 214 in Germany is the 12 stall version 4 in Berlin.
And number 463 in California, number 2282 in the US, number 6426 in the world is the 20 stall version 4 in Buellton, McMurray Road, California.
Woo! And if you haven't voted your Tesla shares yet, please do.
It's important that we don't let the bad guys win.
Thank you so much for watching.
And if you can't get enough, remember that if you're like one of these lovely people that you're seeing here and you support the work we do over on Patreon, then you can watch all of our Patreon bonus stories that we just made exclusively for you, and we do it each week.
We'll see you over there, patrons.
And thank you for being awesome.
We'll see you guys next week.
Now you know.
Growing businesses and finance professionals, you need Bill Spend and Expense, the free-to-use spend management software. It's powered by the Bill Divvy Corporate Card, which helps growing companies scale with credit lines of $500 to $15 million, automated expense reports, and as many virtual cards as you need. For a limited time, get $500 when you get started with Bill Spend and Expense. Request a demo at bill.com/get500. Terms and conditions apply. Advertised credit ranges are not guaranteed and are determined at approval. Card issued by Cross River Bank, member FDIC.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.